Good day, y'all. Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, fastest growing, and now indeed the largest segment of society. It's too bad the gatekeepers of media don't realize that most of us have come to realize that those that we actually know for certain, that the world's political, religious, military, economic, academic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, they can't get anything right, and they can't be fixed. Our telephone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, it is 877-300-7645. You know, even when the religious media makes a valiant attempt to get it right, they still can't do it. So not where I was going to begin today, but let's begin with SRN News and the woman that was responding to the non-assassination of James Foley. First of all, if you are an expert on Islam, the first thing you're going to say is that rather than that execution being consistent with Islam, you're going to say it is inconsistent with Islam. She said, inferred, exactly the opposite. Then she said that particular biography, without even naming the biography, it's called the Sirah, the Sirat Rasul Allah. And it's not just a particular biography. It's not just a biography amongst many biographies. It's the only written account of Muhammad's life compiled within 300 years of his death. It's it. There is no other. It is the only biography. It'd be like, it was written about 125 years after his death, compiled. Actually, it wasn't written. It's just a compilation of hadith. It'd be like having absolutely no written record of any kind about what Thomas Jefferson said and did in 1875. So in 1875, you have absolutely no record whatsoever of a written record. You don't even have a written language of anything Muhammad said and did. And you are just now beginning to assimilate a written language that's been given to you as a derivative of an ancient European language. In this case, with Arabic, it's a derivative of Hebrew. And for the first time, you're going to all of the folklore, all of the mouth-to-ear sayings over the past 125 years, you're going to jot them down in chronological order and come up with a biography. And that is it. There is none other. And then there won't be another one written for another 200 years. That would mean even today we would be 50, 75 years away from having another account. That's how unique Ishaq's compilation of hadiths placed in chronological order describing the life, the words, and the deeds of Muhammad is. Now, in that biography, Muhammad is presented as one of the most, if not the single most reprehensible characters to ever live. He is shown to be a ruthless terrorist. He is shown to be a mass murderer. He is shown to be an untrustworthy liar. He is shown to be an assassin. He is shown to be a slave trader. He is shown to be a kidnapper. He is shown to be sadistic. He admits to being demon-possessed. And he is engaged in 75 acts of terrorism in the first 10 years of the Islamic era, according to the only biography written about Muhammad within 200 to 300 years of his death. Now, it is true that that assassinations, in particular beheadings, are very common in Islam. They have always been. They continue to be. That's obvious. I mean, all you have to do is look what happens in any Islamic country. All you have to do is read the first 9 surahs of the Quran. All you have to do is read that lone biography, the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad. If you, as I do, are more comfortable, or I, as I am, more comfortable with English. The only translation that I'm aware of is done by Gulim, and it's published by the Oxford Press. You can buy a copy of it. Every meaningful declaration from the seer, however, is presented in Prophet of Doom. You can read it as well and know what the seer reveals about Muhammad. But what we pointed out last week is that the alleged assassination of and beheading of Foley didn't occur. It's staged. It is completely out of character, not only with the individual who is the actor standing behind Foley, who is one of what's called the Beatles, who was so violent, so vile, these three gentlemen from England, English Muslims. They were so reprehensible. They were actually, by ISIS, by now simply the Islamic State, forbidden to have any access to the prisoners, the captives, that they had kidnapped. And now you expect that this fellow is not going to show you his abuse of Foley, or he's cutting off his head? Not a chance in hell. But it is interesting to see how the United States is reacting to this video, which it calls gruesome and barbaric, when in fact it shows nothing that is gruesome and barbaric. That's the reason we know it's a fraud. Now, moving to the top story that I wanted to cover, and maybe not top story, but certainly in the order that I had prepared for today. Most who paid any attention over the weekend know that the second largest earthquake over the last 20-some-odd years struck San Francisco on Sunday, the wee hours of the morning. It was a 6.0 magnitude earthquake. It caused Governor Moonbeam, Jerry Brown, to declare a state of emergency. Napa Valley, which is where the wineries are located, and surrounding communities reported the worst damage. There were dozens of aftershocks. There was, according to the U.S. Geological Survey's automatic economic loss predictions, they exceed $100 million. There have been scores of injuries, two of them very serious, including the child, who may die as a result of what occurred. One Bay Area hospital alone treated 87 patients. The quake caused six very significant fires. There were over 100 gas main breaks and over 30 water mains that broke. The largest quake to hit the Bay Area since the 6.9 magnitude quake that hit in 1989, killed more than 60 people. It is with a heavy heart that I tell you that Silver Oaks Winery, which is the premier producer of Cabernet Sauvignon, that they lost their most priceless bottles. Bottles that were so rare, they don't even sell them, and they're gone now forever. I'm kidding, of course, but the fact is that in a former life, I spent a fair amount of time the Napa Sonoma area. One of the things my wife and I and friends liked to do was to tour the wineries. Silver Oak is the best manufacturer of that particular varietal. I think I've only purchased one bottle, consumed one bottle in my lifetime. I'm actually a sucker for much less expensive wines, and my palate on wines is, does it taste good? And if it does, that's good enough for me, particularly if it is inexpensive. It should be known, however, that the Napa area, in terms of its wine production, according to this report, adds $50 billion to the U.S. economy. I have a tough time with that. I do not think that number is even remotely accurate. I want to turn our attention to the Ukraine. We haven't talked about the Ukraine in some time, and the situation there has become repulsive. It's become disingenuous, disgusting, reprehensible, everything that you can imagine, and the culprit, the primary villain, is the Obaminator in the United States of America. The Kiev regime, which is being financed entirely by Washington through the International Monetary Fund, is continuing to shell residential neighborhoods, particularly in Luhansk and Donetsk. And the government forces, which are funded entirely by the United States of America through the International Monetary Fund, are now fighting street battles throughout this urban environment. The forces of the Western Bank Kiev government are steadily gaining the upper hand over the separatists in the Russian-speaking eastern Ukraine and are tightening the noose around the main rebel bastions of Donetsk and Luhansk. You know, it's amazing that here Reuters actually said the Western-backed Kiev government as opposed to the Ukrainian government. That's a big, I mean, it's true, but it's a big stretch for people who normally do not report things as they are. Using the term separatists is a accurate term. You know, this is not unlike the southern states saying we don't want to be associated with the United States and we want to form our own confederacy. You know, their vote counted when they opted to join the Federation of States. Their vote doesn't count when they opt out. The U.S. military was turned on them when they decided they wanted to disassociate. Not so much so freedom under those circumstances. That was the case of the U.S. Civil War. The case in Donetsk and Luhansk is similar, except they were only part of the Ukrainian experiment for 20 years, and that experiment was wholly and completely miserable. There's more graft, more economic thievery, more bribery in Ukraine and amongst its governments than probably any government in the world today. Well documented. The Ukrainians have borrowed some $30 billion from the West and paid back a dime of it. They're continuing to borrow money from the West because they're totally and completely bankrupt. Their very ability to function is a gift of the U.S. taxpayers. And now, an announcement was made this weekend that this bankrupt country all of a sudden has $3 billion to spend on its military. Military that it's not using to fight off a foreign foe, but no, to fight off those who don't want to be associated with them anymore. Be curious, I was correct. Napa does not produce $50 billion worth of wine each year. The entire U.S. wine business at retail, not at wholesale, is $50 billion. Napa produces between 10 and 12 billion of that total. So the journalist was wrong, but that's certainly no surprise. Now, as we've turned our attention to Ukraine, I am really disgusted. You know, here's the United States denouncing Russia for the possibility, yet completely unverified and unproven, that they are providing those ethnic Russians with that don't want to be part of the Kiev regime, with defensive weapons to keep from being annihilated by the U.S.-backed Kiev regime, which is using their military to bombard cities. So here's the United States orchestrating a military assault on cities, and we present ourselves as the moral bastion. And we're denouncing and tongue-lashing Russia, whose only known contribution to this whole mess is a couple of hundred lorries full of potatoes, cabbage, and carrots, most of which have ceased to be of any good because they were held up at the border for 2 weeks. We've lost our mind. We've certainly lost our moral compass. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to Shattering Myths. What do you have to say about Ukraine?
Lorries. You're vacationing in England or something?
Yeah, lorries, man. You know what's funny is that the first two.
American.
Yeah, you know the The reason I actually use Lori's, first of all, 100% of the press coverage has been Lori's, and it's partly because monkey see, monkey do, that the BBC was the first to carry the story, and so they were called Lori's, which is the English term for a truck. Now, those trucks aren't the same as American trucks. You know, for the most part, they're a cab with a large open back area that then has metal framework and a canvas around it. And in these particular cases, all of these vehicles are all Russian transport, very low tech. And they are the same thing. They're nothing more. They're not armored. They're very thin-walled. And the back is not a tractor-trailer, as we would think of them, but simply a canvas-covered, it's like a the old covered wagon, but this is horseless.
Right, right. You can see that here. Sometimes you'll see a flatbed truck with a similar type of thing set up here in the U.S., but not relatively rare.
We actually have them for our military. If you follow a military convoy, you'll see a lot of them in the U.S. military.
Yeah, mostly the deuce and a half, like the doing that. The Russian trucks were flying some sort of flag with a symbol of a charitable organization of some sort on there. It's like a knight with a flag or something. I don't know. I meant to look up what organization that was.
Yeah, I'm just so disgusted. You know, the Ukrainians claim that it's invasion. The United States says if you don't withdraw the aid convoys immediately, that there'll be more recriminations, more sanctions. That it's okay for the U.S. to fund a military bombardment, attack helicopters, by aerial bombers, artillery, mortars being lobbed into a civilian, heavily populated civilian centers in Luhansk and Donetsk. And yet it's not okay for the Russians to come in and feed their people. Now, these are ethnic Russians, to feed their people who have been without water, without food, without electricity now for weeks.
Yeah, they're leaving mostly old women behind to die in the bomb buildings.
Yeah, it's you know, the one thing, America used to be this charitable nation and was considered a peacemaker in the world, the last to engage in war, and would only engage to clean up other people's messes, and that we were the first to offer charity. And now, when somebody offers charity, we lob incrimination at them, and we're the first to start the war. I mean, we've had complete role reversal.
Yeah, and we don't even allow, we're not allowing people to feed the homeless in the streets of American cities, you know.
No,
you can't feed the homeless. So cruelty is the order of the day. But it's kind of interesting because Putin's sort of taken a page out of Chavez's book because, when Chavez was sending oil, providing oil for people in America who couldn't afford heating oil and that sort of thing, it was kind of a little bit of a mockery, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing was so stupid. You speak of heating oil. The Ukraine is wholly dependent. The Kiev side of the Ukraine is wholly dependent on Russia. I mean, completely. That's where they have got their funding. That's where they all of their military hardware. That's where they get all of their gas, and their economy has been totally propped up by the Russians during this entire 20-year failed experiment at independence. And so the West jumps in trying to revive the Cold War with NATO claiming we want the Ukraine. Why would you want it? Reuters is reporting that mortars struck the city of Donetsk. The attack left large craters in many apartment buildings. This is a quote: the Ukrainian army, or whoever they are bombing us again. There's a since the Ukrainian military was so disheveled, they really had no equipment because of the graft that exists within the ranks. It said that about 80% of what was spent of the $5 billion that was spent on the Ukrainian military, about 80% of it was squandered in bribes. So that means they had a grand total of about $1 billion worth of actual equipment, mostly Russian equipment, almost all of which made by the ethnic Russians outside of Donetsk and Luhansk. Beyond that, this equipment now is being used, being funded by the United States, and being supplemented by the United States to bombard civilians. You know, America is having a tizzy fit over Israel defending itself from the Hamas shooting rockets into Israel. But, you know, the separatists, the ethnic Russians in the east, they're not lobbing rockets into Kiev. You know, they aren't trying to annul or even destabilize the junta that has come to power in Kiev. All they want is to be disassociated with them. And, you know, in business, one of the things we learn very early on in business is you disassociate yourself from liabilities and you associate yourself with assets. But what's the United States doing at the direction of the Abominator? It is accepting and paying for a complete and total liability. It borders on insane. It's certainly immoral what we're doing, and it borders on insane, and it's absolutely hypocritical. This one woman said, you know, that I've lived in this apartment my entire life, and now they've destroyed everything I have. So there's nothing left to lose in this city as a result of the Ukrainian army bombing.
Well, you know, you have that dissociation argument, you know, about
yes.
The next time. Yeah, well, Jefferson Davis tried that argument, and it didn't go too well for him either.
I want to be disassociated from the liability that is Washington?
No. Exactly. You know, when they said, well, we just want to secede. We're not trying to take you over. We're just trying to secede. Is that
right?
Argument? It worked well for them.
Yeah, and by the way, they were. The southern states had absolutely no interest whatsoever of destroying or trying to destabilize the North. They were happy to be left alone. That's all they wanted to do, was to be left alone. And you know, this whole idea of votes count when people vote the way you want them to vote, but votes don't count when people don't vote the way you want them to vote. You know, the vote in Egypt counted until they voted three-quarters for the most fundamentalist Islamic party. And that, you know, empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. But that vote didn't count when the military coup ousted the Muslim Brotherhood. So in the Ukraine, the vote 20 years ago to disassociate from the Soviet Union, which no longer existed, but to leave Russia, that counted. But then the vote to disassociate from the junta in Kiev, that doesn't count. I mean, we're just utter and complete hypocrites. And what's amazing is that there's not one American in 1,000 that's either bright enough or aware enough to see that we're the bad guys in this situation, not Putin.
Right. The hypocrisy seems to be a specialty. By the way, a little while ago, the insurance underwriters for the Napa region called.
Yes, yes.
They want to know if they can get somebody to sign off on the $100 million number in a contractually binding manner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my sense is that the cost is going to be significantly above $100 million. It was a really damaging earthquake. That whole San Francisco Bay Area is so susceptible because so much of it is on fill, and the sand just, you know, turns to mush, even liquefies under some of the most extreme conditions. And so everything that is rigid, like, for example, natural gas lines and water lines, they break. And you might say, well, there's no big deal except for the drought of the water lines breaking. Well, if you put the pieces together, you break a natural gas line, what happens?
Boom.
Yeah. Really, really, really big fire, right? It's not just that thing go boom, and it does go boom.
Yeah.
But you have a fire that is extraordinarily difficult to put out. And what are you going to put it out with when the water mains also broke?
Mm-hmm.
That combination.
They brought in trucks and actually did an amazing job, you know. So.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what the property values are and everything. Have you seen the video? I mean, the place looks like an HO train platform.
Yeah.
Like an idyllic little, you know, very,
yes.
Very wealthy, perfectly clean and orderly little town there.
Oh, Napa is
the
playground for the uber rich. You know, if you've retired, made a bundle of money, and you've got absolutely nothing, no purpose for the rest of your life, you go to Napa and buy extraordinarily expensive land, hire an expensive crew of people, and you will try to impress your colleagues, your neighbors, by producing a more expensive varietal of wine than does anybody else. You know, I mean, I love the trips in Napa. It's a hoot. It's Disneyland for the super rich is what it is. But you know, you always leave there and say, oh my God, am I ever glad I'm not part of that? You know, it's like visiting. I don't know if you've ever done this, but the mansions of the Newport area and the Rhode Island. You know, if you go
the
and you
gilded age.
Yeah, if you go through there, I mean, my wife loves to tour them, and I walk out of them, and I'm just saying, oh God, that's just repulsive. I mean, it's just so over the top. It's so much like I have no self esteem whatsoever. My life is absolutely meaningless. So if I can build something bigger, gaudier, more gilded than the next person, that I'm going to, you know, win the game. And you know, there's no sense of tradition or heritage or our architectural style. It's just, oh, it's just hideous.
Yeah, you know, the stately Wayne Mansion thing. It's like, you know, how do you feel at home in something like this? I mean, I've been in just, you know, uber-large brownstones right in this area that I could never be comfortable in.
Right, they're just cold.
Right.
Oh, cold.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, they were, for the most part, they built them and never attended them, and if they were in them, they were never in them as a family. Returning to the Ukraine, I do want to get some reports out. Their president, Petro Poroshenko, he accused the Russia of a flagrant violation of international law. Now, you're bombarding, you're using your military to bombard two of the largest cities in the east of people that don't want to be part of your country anymore. So you're, first of all, your mindset is the way to deal with the people who don't want to be part of the Kiev regime is to bombard them. Oh, that'll make them really love us. And then on top of that, while you're doing that, while you're using your military to massacre 2,000 civilians, you condemn the Russians for violating international law for bringing in 260 truckloads of potatoes and carrots and beans and cabbage, bottled water. Every time that a politician in Kiev opens his mouth, vomit comes out.
Yeah, that's when you put a porn oligarch, I mean a chocolate oligarch.
Yes, absolutely. Then it's Russia's President Vladimir Putin said further delays to the delivery of aid were unacceptable. Yeah, the people in Luhansk, for example, have gone 3 weeks without power, without water, without food. I want to tell you, he was right. They were unacceptable. You know, they had 3 weeks to clear that, and they didn't. Ukraine's Secretary Chief Vatilin, and why don't we just call it the Kiev regime's Vatilin security chief, who is now the warmonger, a mass murderer in my view. He's said that it was a direct invasion. Yeah, a direct invasion. You got these white trucks that have canvas tops that media representatives from all over the world have been in, and that are filled about a third of the way up with produce. And it's a direct invasion and a flagrant violation of international law. But he said, you know, we're not going to attack the convoy because we wish to avoid further provocations. You know, you think of this. What would happen if the Kiev regime decided to lob artillery or send an attack helicopter over that long caravan of white lorries?
I think they would have not much left by the time Rush was done with them.
Yeah, they'd have more than mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Russian Foreign Ministry has warned Ukraine not to take action against the convoy. Ukraine fears that the aid convoy of at least 260 lorries arrived at the border more than 2 weeks ago as part of a broader Russian invasion in Ukraine. You know, I've always thought that if I was going to invade Mexico, the first thing I would do is have 260 trucks of tortillas, chips, and salsa, and some beer. Because if I could send the party down first, then they wouldn't even notice as I rolled the tanks. What do you think?
Exactly.
That's the strategy.
Sending surveys into Newcastle. The VMRC did good coverage of them delivering that food and the trucks arriving back out. So they're in and out. I'm waiting for them to hit the warehouse now, though.
Oh, it's... You know... If this were the way that you launched an invasion, then we did Iraq all wrong. What we should have done is not shock and awe with bombs and with a military assault. What we should have done is have Costco arrange for a few truckloads and caravans of all sorts of goodies, and you know, offer the people this wide selection of treats, and we'd have won their hearts, and we would never have had to bomb them into the Stone Age. I like the Russian approach. The news continues from the Ukraine. The Ukrainian military has said that it's clashed with rebel armored vehicles that crossed from Russia and headed to the southeastern port of Mariupol. Now, to which the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, said that he had not heard the reports, but he complained of regular disinformation about our, and then he put in air quotes, are alleged incursions. You know, it's the Ukrainians have lied so often and so egregiously. It is a wonder that there is a periodical in the world that prints their mythical assessments of what Russia is doing. The only reason that the thugs in Ukraine constantly say that the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. Glenn, you're listening. Why do you think the thugs in Kiev are constantly saying the Russians are coming?
Well, because to fan up the Cold War type hysteria and perhaps to maybe get NATO, you know, maybe courting NATO, perhaps, you know.
More weapons and more support from NATO. It's NATO that's depriving all the intelligence to be used against the ethnic Russians. So NATO gets to fight by proxy the Cold War, killing Russians. And second, they get more money and more economic support from the United States and the International Monetary Fund. So... They're playing right along with what the Obaminator scripted.
The IMF is the UN entity, of course, and so the UN isn't, you know, necessarily falling for everything, you know, that they're saying either.
No, you hear almost nothing about the UN. Every bit of this is either the NATO or the White House. Every bit of the back and forth in Ukraine is NATO or the White House, and almost nothing beyond that. And so the announcement over the weekend is the Ukraine's president says that $3 billion will be spent re-equipping the army after an exhausting campaign against pro-Russian rebels. Poroshenko made the announcement ahead of a military parade. He had the same kind of parade that the fascist and communist governments would typically do, where you take all the armored vehicles and you run them down the street with flags and people lining, you know, Yavol. It's despicable.
And North Korean parades or the Russian May Day parades and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, of course. And I read four or five articles on the Ukrainian announcement that they were going to spend $3 billion re-equipping their military. And not one of them said, whose money are they spending? Not one questioned it. Not one recognized that the Ukraine is absolutely bankrupt, that it owes $30 billion, that it has never paid back a loan, that it's welched on every agreement that it's ever made, and that it is entirely being propped up by the United States. And no one said, well, that $3 billion is going to hit the U.S. taxpayer. Not one.
Look, Russia's just...
Winter's coming,
and their incompetence is going to be grossly magnified, you know, when the fact, you know, with the conditions of their economy and their, you know, unpreparedness for the weather and the gas and oil issues and all that sort of thing. Wait till people in Kiev start freezing their little pussies off this winter. It could change their opinions about their government.
Yep. Russia's decision to send aid caused NATO to say that it would only fuel the crisis. As if the only fuel we should be talking about here is the fuel that the Ukrainians are not going to have because the Russians have cut off fuel to the Ukraine, which is going to devastate people this winter. But the Russians have no choice. The Ukrainians owe them $2 billion for past fuel, and the IMF, because it's controlled by the United States, won't allow the loans that Americans have made to pay for past fuel purchases. So the Russian says, all right, have it your way. I'm not sending any more fuel to the Ukraine. And I'm not, and won't resume it until they pay off what they owe us, and then we'll only continue on letter of credit. We're not going to give them credit.
Did you see the YouTube videos a couple months ago of the Ukrainian gas line going to Europe being blown up? I mean, the people who were taking the video were pre-staged along the roadway, the way people line up in Florida to watch a space shuttle launch. I mean, they had cameras pointed in that direction before the explosion occurred, and then, boom, the gas line blows up. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, the whole thing from the rebels who originally rioted in Kiev to overthrow the popularly elected government to what we're witnessing with that regime's military killing thousands of civilians has all been staged by America and the CIA.